Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Sunday. It's April the 9th. It's day number 99 in our journey through the Bible. 99 days, my friend. Incredible. We're on the verge of 100, a century of days. And each one of those days, God has been good. He's been faithful. He has been kind. Today we are in the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 6 and 7. Then we go on to Psalm 72. And we finish our reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What do you say we jump right in? 1 Samuel chapter 6. We are reading through the New Living Translation. The Philistines returned the ark. The ark of the Lord remained in Philistine territory 7 months in all. Then the Philistines called in their priests and diviners and asked them, "What should we do about the ark of the Lord? Tell us how to return it to its own country." "Send the ark of the God of Israel back with a gift," they were told. "Send a guilt offering, so the plagues will stop. Then if you are healed, you will know it is his hand that has caused the plague." "What sort of guilt offering should we send?" they asked. And they were told, "Since the plague has struck both you and your 5 rulers, make 5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, just like those that have ravaged your land. Make these things to show honor to the God of Israel. Perhaps then he will stop afflicting you, your gods, and your land. Don't be stubborn and rebellious as Pharaoh and the Egyptians were. By the time God was finished with them, they were eager to let Israel go. Now build a new cart and find 2 cows that have just given birth to calves. Make sure the cows have never been yoked to a cart. Hitch the cows to the cart, but shut their calves away from them in a pen. Put the ark of the Lord on the cart, and beside it place a chest containing the gold rats and the gold tumors you are sending as a guilt offering. Then let the cows go wherever they want. If they cross the border of our land and go to Beth Shemesh, we will know it was the Lord who brought this great disaster upon us. If they don't, we will know it was not his hand that caused the plague. It came simply by chance." So these instructions were carried out. 2 cows were hitched to the cart, and their newborn calves were shut up in a pen. Then the ark of the Lord and the chest containing the gold rats and the gold tumors were placed on the cart, and sure enough, without veering off in other directions, the cows went straight along the road toward Beth Shemesh, lowing as they went. The Philistine rulers followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. The people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting wheat in the valley when they saw the ark. They were overjoyed. The cart came into the field of a man named Joshua and stopped beside a large rock. So the people broke up the wood of the cart for a fire and killed the cows and sacrificed them to the Lord as a burnt offering. Several men from the tribe of Levi lifted the ark of the Lord and the chest containing the gold rats and the gold tumors from the cart and placed them on the large rock. Many sacrifices and burnt offerings were offered to the Lord that day by the people of Beth Shemesh. The 5 Philistine rulers watched all this and then returned to Ekron that same day. The 5 gold tumors sent by the Philistines as a guilt offering to the Lord were gifts from the rulers of Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The 5 gold rats representing the 5 Philistine towns and their surrounding villages, which were controlled by the 5 rulers. The large rock at Beth Shemesh, where they set the ark of the Lord, still stands in the field of Joshua as a witness to what happened there. But the Lord killed 70 men from Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord, and the people mourned greatly because of what the Lord had done. "Who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God?" they cried out. "Where can we send the ark from here?" So they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath Jearim and told them, "The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come here and get it." 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. So the men of Kiriath Jearim came to get the ark of the Lord. They took it to the hillside home of Abinadab and ordained Eleazar, his son, to be in charge of it. The ark remained in Kiriath Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. During that time, all Israel mourned because it seemed the Lord had abandoned them. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, "If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of all your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines. So the Israelites got rid of all their images of Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only the Lord. Then Samuel told them, gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah, and in a great ceremony drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. It was at Mizpah that Samuel became Israel's judge. When the Philistine rulers heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines, they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to a place below Beth-kar, slaughtering them all along the way. Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshunah. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and didn't invade Israel again for some time. And throughout Samuel's lifetime, the Lord's powerful hand was raised against the Philistines. The Israelite villages near Ekron and Gath that the Philistines had captured were restored to Israel, along with the rest of the territory that the Philistines had taken. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites in those days. Samuel continued as Israel's judge for the rest of his life. Each year he traveled around, setting up his court first at Bethel, then at Gilgal, then at Mizpah. He judged the people of Israel at each of these places. Then he would return to his own home at Ramah, and he would hear cases there too. And Samuel built an altar to the Lord at Ramah. Psalm 72. A Psalm of Solomon. Give your love of justice to the king, O God, and righteousness to the king's son. Help him judge your people in the right way. Let the poor always be treated fairly. May the mountains yield prosperity for all, and may the hills be fruitful. Help him to defend the poor, to rescue the children of the needy, and to crush their oppressors. May they fear you as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon remains in the sky, yes, forever. May the king's rule be refreshing like spring rain on freshly cut grass, like the showers that water the earth. May all the godly flourish during his reign. May there be abundant prosperity until the moon is no more. May he reign from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Desert nomads will bow before him. His enemies will fall before him in the dust. The western kings of Tarshish and other distant lands will bring him tribute. The eastern kings of Sheba and Seba will bring him gifts. All kings will bow before him, and all nations will serve him. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend him. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Long live the king. May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May the people always pray for him and bless him all day long. May there be abundant grain throughout the land, flourishing even on the hilltops. May the fruit trees flourish like the trees of Lebanon, and may the people thrive like grass in a field. May the king's name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun shines. May all nations be blessed through him and bring him praise. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This ends the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Second Corinthians chapter 9, the collection for Christians in Jerusalem. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I am sending these brothers to be sure that you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all that I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead to make sure the gift you promised is ready, but I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. May God add his blessing to the reading of these, his words. Amen. Good farmers, cheerful farmers. That's what I want to be. That's what Paul wants to compare us to. He wants to inspire us to live like a good farmer, a cheerful farmer. I used to live among wheat farmers in Alberta, Canada. And I don't want to stereotype farmers too much, but there is a common characteristic that I think is fair to say about them, and that is that they are not the most extravagant people in the world. At least not outwardly. You know, if you go to their homes, you're not going to find a lot of extravagance. Their personalities aren't always so extravagant, except for this. There is an extravagant generosity of heart. Among the farmers that I knew, I think of the Tulikoffs, of Joan and John Tulikoff from Three Hills, Alberta, Canada. What amazing people they are, what generous and cheerful farmers they are. They have generous and cheerful hearts. I think they would line up real well with what Paul's describing here for us. What he's trying to inspire us toward? Well, I want to be like that. I want to be a good farmer, a cheerful farmer. In order to do that, it seems like I've got to see some things the way farmers see them. We're told here by Paul that a good farmer knows that it's God who provides seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. I've got to see that it's God who is the source of all that I have. Right down to the very seed, the very germ of the thing that provides my bread. It all comes from him. He's the one who gives it. He's the one who increases it. Well, I have to see that in order to be a good and cheerful farmer. And then I have to remember something. I have to remember that the crop that I receive will be in proportion to the seed that has been planted. And if I'm going to sow sparingly, I will reap sparingly. But if I sow generously, then I will reap generously. Some basic, fundamental, very logical assumptions that must be had in order to be a good and cheerful farmer. So friends, let's give cheerfully. Let's remember that it all comes from God. It's all His. Every bit of it, down to the last seed, it's all His. And let's remember to sow generously into the lives of others, into those in need, into those who need encouragement, into those who are out in the field working. Let's remember to be generous sowers, cheerful sowers. And let's be good farmers. That's what I want. How about you? Well, hey, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we hang our hat out here on the wheat fields. I guess we're far away from wheat fields. I'm here in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm a long ways from Three Hills, Alberta, but this is where we're hanging our hat right now, and it's always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So take a moment and let a brother know. It'll bless you, and it will certainly bless me. Speaking of sharing things cheerfully, would you cheerfully share this app with your friends? We've made that real easy. All you have to do is click on the icon on the app that says share the app and pass it off to friends, family members, co-workers. Heck, send it off to an enemy. Who knows what God will do? And another way to share this app is by going to our Facebook page, liking the Facebook page, and then sharing our posts with your friends. Like us on Instagram and connect with me on LinkedIn. Oh, there's so many ways we can connect with each other. One very important way is our newsletter. I would love to have you sign up for our newsletter. You can do that right on the app or at the webpage. And I promise you, we will not overrun your inbox. We send these newsletters out maybe twice a month. But it's a great way to connect, great way to know what's going on here at the Daily Radio Bible. And if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, you can go to dailyradiobible.com, click on the partner link. You can also give right from the app. Or if you're old school and you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. This ministry happens because of cheerful, generous givers like you who come alongside and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. Well, hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about that. God is especially fond of you. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.